Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 176, entitled, How to Truly Detoxify Your Body, Overcoming Lyme, Heavy Metals, Autism, Mold, and More, I chat with Dr. Chris Shade. Dr. Chris Shade is the number one detoxification expert in the world and the founder and CEO of Quiksilver Scientific. In today's episode, Dr. Shade talks about everything you need to know surrounding detoxification and how to go about it the right way. He walks through the three phases of true detoxification, the supplements needed for detox, what a detox feels like, how long it lasts, and why you almost certainly should be doing one. Dr. Shade also delves into the power of CBD and why this one supplement can do so much good within the body and brain, and why just about everyone should consider taking it. Whether you're curious about Lyme disease, heavy metals, autism, mold, or the many other toxins out there that affect your quality of life, this episode covers the type of detox protocol necessary for overcoming those types of things. If you're wondering how to truly detoxify your body and brain and become the healthiest version of yourself, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, I know we mention it in the intro of every episode, but sometimes people forget or overlook it. So I'd like to remind you really quickly, if you can take 30 seconds to leave us a review here on iTunes or even Stitcher if you're listening on Stitcher, that would be phenomenal. It helps us out a ton and helps other elite men like you discover the show. So do me a huge favor and show some love. Also, quick reminder, for this and all Elite Man podcast episodes, all of the links to our show, whether it be our guests' websites, courses, or books, or any other resources mentioned by myself or a sponsor are always contained in the show notes on iTunes, Stitcher, or right on the EliteManMagazine.com website. It's the easiest way to find something if you're interested in checking it out further. Not always, but sometimes these links are affiliate links, so just assume that if you choose to get anything, you're probably helping the show out by doing so. But that's it for now. Keep kicking ass and taking names. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Dr. Chris Shade from Quiksilver Scientific. Dr. Shade, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here. I always love talking about this stuff and talking to ambitious people who want to get a hold of their health.
Love it. As I mentioned to you before, I consider you probably the number one expert in the world in detoxification. And I've been a big fan of yours for a while and have recently just been devouring all your content on YouTube, which has been fascinating for me. And before we kind of dive into some of the specifics, how prevalent is toxification in the Western world? Like, how many people actually have issues that you come across with not being able to detoxify themselves from mercury and heavy metals, et cetera?
It's incredibly prevalent. It's all over the place, and it's we want to put it into these little bins, like I am mercury toxic, and people want to have one demon. I mean, we're very binary in our mind, and we're very limited in our thinking, and we're like, oh, I'm a mold guy, or oh, I'm mercury toxic, and the reality is that there's a soup of toxins that you're dealing with, and all of us have unique biochemistry, and people like say, oh, I can't detoxify, and it's usually you're not so good at detoxifying this, but you might be okay at that. And it comes down to what our genetic SNPs are and the epigenetic overlays, other insults that have turned down or blocked certain pathways. So the question is really, how many people could benefit from detoxification? And then you're talking, you know, 90% of the population, because we all have exposures that are challenging us and that are limiting our vitality. And, you know, you don't just have to have a genetic SNP that minimizes something or one particular exposure. It's our whole way of being and our whole lifestyle. And we're talking here to very ambitious entrepreneurial people. And when you look at the way your autonomic nervous system deals with stresses around you, you have to understand that stress itself turns down detoxification. So if we're chronically go-go, we are prioritizing our energy generation into fight-or-flight mechanisms, into surviving, into getting us moving forward in our, you know, sort of ambitious game plan for ourselves. And while we're advancing, taking the puck down the rink, you know, taking the ball down the line, and we're really focusing on that, we are generating energy towards that and not towards detoxification. And if we get very stressed out, we block a lot of these pathways. And so most of us are chronically building up a large toxin load. And then as that toxin load works on us and, say, works on our neurochemistry, most of those toxins, say, stimulate glutamate receptors in their brain, which, you know, glutamate and GABA are the sort of the go switch and the calm switch. And as that glutamate revs up, that creates further blockages and further tensions in your body. And, you know, and then you're starting to have some brain fog, and then you're stressing even more about it. And so there's this downward spiral that we get ourselves into. And detoxification is really a fundamental release from that. And it works at a brain level, a liver level, a cellular level, and very importantly, that mitochondrial energy generating level. So all of us can benefit from embracing detoxification.
Can you quickly go through, I know it's a very complicated process and very heavy in science, but can you kind of give us the 30,000 foot overview of, I believe there's three phases of your detoxification protocol. Like, what does that look like and why does it work?
Yeah, and so in detoxification, there's what's called phase one, phase two, and phase three detoxification. And don't think of these as like, oh, for a month I'm going to focus on phase one, then I'm going to focus on phase two, and then phase three. These are reactions that happen like one, two, three. They're really quick, you know, at a microsecond level. And toxins, like if you take a toxin like PCB, they were used in electronics to be a lubricant that wouldn't catch on fire in high temperature equipment. Now, they get into your body and they stick into hormone receptor sites and they dysregulate different pathways in your body and you want to get them out. Now, by their nature, they're not very reactive. And so you have to sort of chop into them and create a reactive compound. So that phase one is chopping into it and making it reactive. Now, this is making a toxin a little bit more toxic because you're making a bit of a free radical. And you're doing that so that phase two, you can link one of your biomolecules onto it. So phase one is nick it or chop it, and then phase two is link it. Now, the most famous thing that you make that you link onto that would be glutathione. Other notables are glucuronic acid and sulfate. Those are the three main phase two reactions. So you nick it, you link one of your biomolecules onto it. Say you link glutathione onto it. What's that doing? It's making it water soluble. So you'll hear in language about detoxification that in these phases you take a fat-soluble compound and make it water-soluble. But you're also making it recognizable by a series of doors that are phase three detoxification. So say we were inside a cell in your thyroid and there was that PCB there and we do phase one to it, we do phase two, we link glutathione onto it. And then phase three is to dump it out of the cell into the blood, and then it goes into the blood, and then phase three at a liver level is to grab it from the blood, pull it into the hepatocyte, and then the last phase three reaction is to dump it from the hepatocyte into the bile tree, and then it'll go out into the GI tract and then down and out through fecal excretion. Now, these phase three reactions are also happening in the kidney, where they pull from the blood, dump into the urine. And so, again, nick it, link it, transport it out. Those are the phase one, two, three. Now, not every compound needs all three. So, like a metal is already hyperreactive, and it just joins in phase two, where you're going to link, say it's mercury, you link glutathione onto it. But then the phase three reactions are the same as the other cells, the transport out. And it's in this phase three where things really get blocked up a lot. And this is all of our recent work really focuses around the liver to bile tree transition. And that's where things get blocked very easily. Inflammation blocks that. Stress blocks that. Hormone dysregulation, like estrogen excess, blocks that. Leaky gut bringing endotoxin into the body blocks that. And so opening up that movement out is a key thing of what we do, because when that gets blocked and you start mobilizing toxins and they're wanting to go out through the liver into the bile tree and into the GI tract, if that's blocked, what they do is they go back into the blood and then you recirculate. So when people talk about redistribution of toxins, that's when you activate this whole supply chain out of the body and it gets blocked at that liver gallbladder transition and it dumps back into the blood. Where does it go? It'll go to the kidneys. You'll get lower back pain and kidney stress. It'll go to the brain and you'll wind up neuroinflammation, or it'll go out through the skin and you're getting itching. So like when you've got itching or rashes, that's a telltale sign that you're not making that transition. So successful detoxification is about lining up all those phases and most importantly, lining up all that path to get down and out of the body.
Gotcha. Did you say that for heavy metals, they don't need to do the third phase, or
they don't need to do the first phase, the nickel thing?
Gotcha.
So the first phase makes it into a bit of a radical, but they're already there. So they come in phase two, and everything needs phase three.
Okay, that makes sense. I was thinking it didn't really make sense because the third phase is really the most important, I think, you know, to get
it
out. What are some of the other detox programs out there that, you know, you hear from a lot of these functional doctors, whether it's using chlorella or cilantro or something like that? What are the mainstream detoxes? What are they missing?
Yeah, well, they're missing. Now, you always need to move and then bind. So remember, I was talking about these phases, and you dump out through the bile into the GI tract. Now, one of the problems then when it gets to the GI tract is that it can reabsorb. Like methylmercury, you dump it out in the bile, and 95% of it comes back in. So we need the phases activated. We need that movement through the liver into the gallbladder. We need to bind it when it gets into the GI tract. So one of the naturopathic treatments for mercury is cilantro and chlorella together. Now, the cilantro is called the mobilizer and chlorella the binder. Chlorella is going through the GI tract, catching what goes down there and making sure you don't reabsorb it. Then the problem with this setup here is that cilantro, well, one, mercury does bind to chlorella, but we could have an even better binder. We could build that a little bit better. But two, cilantro, nobody knows how cilantro works. There's no studies that say it's X and such molecule in there and it works by hitting NRF2 upregulation or turning up glutathione transferase or glutathione synthesis. They just see that something happens. And so how do you standardize a product for the active ingredient? You just don't know. How do you combine it with other things? You just don't know. So when I'm setting up detoxification programs, I'm using things that there's a lot of literature around. We have a lot of basic research around how lipoic acid works, diindolyl methane, polyphenolic antioxidants. All those upregulate all this chemistry, and I know what relative doses are needed to do it and what the mechanisms are. So then the other thing that system's moving is, how do we ensure we get bile flowing? When I said that the toxins go from the liver into the bile tree and into the GI tract, the most important part that we've figured out is that the bile transport and the toxin transport goes together. They're co-located on those membranes. They're upregulated and downregulated together. So if you don't have effective bile flow, you cannot move toxins out of the liver and into the GI tract. So, you know, when we do it, we're supporting phases, we're supporting bile flow, and we're binding. A lot of these other programs do one part, but not the other part. The functional medicine guys just seem to think that you need some N-acetylcysteine and some lipoic acid, but they're not looking at the binding in the GI tract, and they're not looking at the bile flow. And, you know, then the guys who use herbals, you know, there's some... they are recognizing some of these, what they call drainage pathways, but sometimes they don't have enough of the active ingredients to upregulate these phases of detox. So they get sort of one part of it or two parts of it, but not your three majors.
Is there anybody else besides you who actually has gotten this right? Or are you kind of the pioneer here?
That's why I have a job. Yeah, we're really the only ones who have this all tied together right now.
Yeah, and you got it too, obviously, from your background with the being a scientist and looking at methyl mercury. And can you talk actually for a moment of the tri-test, I believe you call it, and how you differentiate, like, what's a good test for people to take for heavy metals? And then let's talk about the tri-test specifically, if that covers it.
Yeah, and just to, my background, my PhD was in environmental biogeochemistry. And then when you do that, you're going to pick something to focus on, and I focused on mercury. But biogeochemistry, that's the movement of elements through the biosphere, the geosphere, and, say, the chemosphere. So how do elements dissolve out of the crust into the water? How do they move through bacteria? What happens to them in the soil at different redox zones and water columns? What happens? And how do all these different organisms that are out in the environment interact with water and organic matter and soil in order to move things? So we had to think from a very complex standpoint, and there was no simple black box thing like, well, if you put the mercury in here, methyl mercury comes out the bottom. You had to know all the organisms and all the redox environments that were in between, and that was what set me up to think in a complex manner about metals. So during my PhD, I developed testing for mercury where we separated different forms. In order to understand how mercury worked through the environment and eventually got into animals to exert some sort of toxic effect, you had to differentiate between different forms of mercury. And the two most important to separate are inorganic mercury, which is you've got the mercury metal, that liquid metal, and that off gases to a vapor, and then that oxidizes to a salt form. It's kind of like iron rusting to iron oxide. And then that form is worked on in the environment by bacteria and turned into methyl mercury, and methyl mercury moves up through the environment and built up in the fish. So we needed to separate those two forms. Now in the body, you've got inorganic mercury from your dental amalgams off-gassing in your mouth, and you're inhaling it, it's going into your body, forming inorganic mercury, which is binding on to different proteins in your body and exerting a toxic effect. And then you have methyl mercury that you're eating from fish, and you're getting about 95% uptake of that, and that's moving in kind of different patterns than the inorganic mercury. And they've both got different patterns of whether they go across the blood-brain barrier or not, whether they go out through stool or urine or both, and so you really have to look at them separately. And also their behavior in the blood is very different. So the big change that I brought was separating inorganic and methyl mercury in blood, looking at your two different pools of those, and then comparing them to hair and urine as excretion markers for those two different forms. So the mercury tri-tests looks at blood, hair, and urine for these two different forms, methyl and inorganic mercury, looking at what your source is. Is this dominantly from your dentistry? Is it dominantly from your diet? Are they interconverting in there, and how well they're excreting? So this was the most advanced form of mercury testing, and it replaces what was called challenge testing before, where they would give you chelators and look at how much mercury you pee out. And there was this kind of mythology around that it was showing you what your body burden of mercury was, like going into every cell and pulling everything out. But really, it was just amplifying how much is coming out in the urine, stripping a bunch of mercury from blood and a little bit of lymph, and making it come out through the urine. And this could be difficult on people who are already biochemically very sensitive, or if they had disruptions in their kidney filtering of mercury, they would give an artificial low. So the tri-test doesn't put a chelator into you. It just looks at the bank of mercury in you. And the blood is always in a steady state with the rest of the body, so that's showing you your body burden. And then hair and urine compared to the blood, hair comparing to blood methylmercury, urine comparing to blood inorganic mercury, and they show you what your excretion rates for that are, and you don't need to go through the challenge tests. Now, if you're looking at the other metals, then we just do a blood metals panel where we look at nutrient and toxic metals, nutrients like calcium, magnesium, copper, zinc, cofactor elements like manganese and molybdenum, chromium, selenium, and lithium. Also, you can look at how lined up you are for nutrition and detox cofactors, and then other toxic metals we add into that, antimony, arsenic, cadmium, lead, and strontium. So that's how we do all the testing.
Gotcha. Is there a reason why you don't do the tri-test for the other metals too? Is there just no need for it?
We haven't worked out exactly what urine to blood ratios are supposed to look like on all those. We're working that out right now. We just had quite a head start in our data collection doing it in that format for mercury. And so we're just trying to wrap our arms around how that's supposed to look for all these other metals.
Okay. What do you think? Next year or two you'll have that?
Yeah. 6 to 12 months.
Cool. And how accurate without that right now is it the metals panel that you do?
It's really been very accurate. There's less of this speciation effect. Mercury, arsenic has a speciation effect, but we just don't see it as a huge driver. Like, for instance, when you look at our clients in Hong Kong or Japan, they're typically double the arsenic and mercury level that the U.S. people are. And when you put them through a detox, they go down commensurately. It really does work out just fine. Lead in blood is very well established as a great biomarker, and for cadmium as well.
And the cool thing is, too, about what you do, your system, that if you are targeting, say, like mercury, if you do a tri-test and you see your mercury is super high through the roof, and you start to target mercury to get it out of your system, the other metals also were going to come out as well, right?
Yeah. Well, what goes together is mercury, cadmium, and arsenic, and antimony. They'll come down together. Lead needs a little EDTA intervention. You'll stop all the toxic manifestations and you'll take acute levels down, but when you really want to get the levels down, then we use a liposomal EDTA to really work lead. And that also has some effect on cadmium, the EDTA too. So the normal glutathione system upregulation plus EDTA, then you've got everything. And glutathione system upregulation itself, you got mercury, arsenic really well, cadmium, antimony pretty well, and then lead not as much. But you're also going to get a lot of other toxins like mold toxins and different pesticides and herbicides, plasticizers. All that's going to come tumbling out when you do this detox system upregulation.
I want to ask about mold in a minute, but first, when you do the detox, what types of chelators are you doing for that third phase? Are you using just EDTA, or is there some other ones that work well? I heard you mention charcoal a few times and a couple of the other things.
Well, these are different. You got to think about these things differently. So for phase three comprises two essential things. You need bile flow moving out of the liver, and you need a good binder. And when you get those two, then phase three opens up all throughout the body. And so for getting the bile flow moving, we're using mostly phosphatidylcholine and bitters mixes. Very traditional bitters are stimulating bile flow. Bile salts like tauroursodeoxycholic acid also help that as well. And then once we have that flowing, then the binder, we like a blend of different binders. So charcoal, clay or zeolite, chitosan, and IMD, our metal binder, are the things that we blend together into a binder cocktail.
Have you heard of, I'm sure you have, Dr. Pompa's detox program? I know he uses something called Cytodetox. It's a zeolite liquid or something like that. Is that a solid product?
Yeah, that's an interesting product. It's this zeolite that they've dissolved down to very, very small size that they're saying gets into the body and binds stuff in the body and then comes back out of the body. I'm not totally comfortable using a mechanism like that. They say that the immune system then removes these nanomicroscopic, they're almost like shards of zeolite that are left over. And they say that they get into the body and grab things, and then the immune system comes out. Sort of mechanistically in my mind, I'm imagining that silicate getting in there kind of activates the immune system, and the immune system starts doing something for you, and that's doing the effects. But for clays and mineral binders like that, I like them all to stay in the GI tract and activate the glutathione system, and activate the whole detox system to bring all that stuff down to the GI tract, and then be the binders in the GI tract.
Gotcha. So you're kind of keeping it in one place, whereas the other stuff is working ubiquitously across the body?
Maybe. That's what they say. Yeah. Supposedly. It's just like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around a little particulate clay moving through the body and doing things, and then your body moving it out of there. I don't know.
Okay. So what are some of the best binders that you've found? Charcoal, clay, EDTA, does DMSA, does that work, or is that kind of...
Well, let's separate these two. You're kind of throwing EDTA and DMSA in as binders. Now, there's chelators and binders. So chelators are supposed to go into the body, bind metals, and take them out of the body. Binders are supposed to just catch.
Okay.
So something gets down to the GI tract, it grabs it so you don't reabsorb it, and then you move it out through fecal absorption. And so generally, binders are solids that are non-absorbed. Now, EDTA, the confusion here is that EDTA, if you can get it into your body, is a soluble chelator that binds metals, and you pee them out, you move some out through the liver gallbladder system as well. But if you eat EDTA orally, it is not absorbed across the GI tract, and so it actually can act as a binder of metals in the GI tract that forms a complex that's not absorbed that you'll pass out through fecal excretion. That's why you've probably heard EDTA described of as a binder. Now, we use EDTA and a liposome to get it into the system to bind mercury and cadmium and go out through urinary excretion. Now, DMSA is a chelator that's absorbed through the GI tract into systemic circulation, binds metals, and moves them mostly through the kidneys out through urinary excretion. I'm not a real fan of using DMSA. I think it creates a lot of stress on people. I think the people who need detox the most, it treats the worst, because they often have blocked phase 3 pathways in both the liver and the kidneys, and you get the DMSA in there, and it's pulling mercury and other metals off of proteins that are binding it, making these complexes, and if you can get them out through your kidneys real quick, that's okay. But if you can't, then they move around and eventually they let go of the chelator and they rebind into other fresh sites. So where they were maybe a little bit stabilized on what they were bound to, they're now exposed to other active sites where they can cause a lot of damage. That's called redistribution of metals.
In terms of like milligram dosage of EDTA, what does that look like?
Well, it depends. If you're eating it orally to act as a pass-through binder, then it could be 500 milligrams to several grams. If you're doing it and that could be like every day, twice a day, you might be doing that. If you're doing it IV, then you're talking anywhere from 300 milligrams up to 3 grams. I think that's a little bit high. If you're doing liposomes, one teaspoon is 200 milligrams. I like to do, 3 to 5 teaspoons, which would be 600 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams twice a week.
So you're saying the liposome is definitely the way to go anyways in terms of absorption?
In terms of absorption, now an IV is higher absorption, but you got to go in, you got to stick a needle in there, and you got to sit there and get the IV. So for EDTA, for effect, the IV is probably the gold standard, but the liposome does a really, really good job, and it works its way out. It's a sort of a slower path. It's not like tons of mobilization all at once. It moves a little bit slower, but it moves very effectively.
And how long would this dosing last for? Is it a few? How long does a detox last for that matter? Is it a few weeks? Is it a few months? Is it even years? I've heard years in some cases.
It really comes down to the acute or active phase of detox versus the maintenance. And so the real active phase of detox is going to last anywhere from a few to many months, from 3 to 12 months, depending on how fast you can advance your dosing up to high doses. And then maintenance, it depends how sick you've gotten, and if you're trying to get better, you might need a year of maintenance. But really, you have to adopt this lifestyle then where detoxification becomes part of your life. And it's not that you do it every day, but, on the weekend, oh, I'm going to do a couple rounds of, dumping the toxins and catching them. I'm going to have this supplement, several days a week that's going to support my detox. You're going to find out through your detox which supplements were really important for you, and you're going to incorporate them into your pattern after that. I mean, detox is a core part of my life. I'm super strong now. And it was only by realizing I've got a lot of lousy genes for detox. And, it's a good thing I own a detox company because it allows me to keep traveling and doing all this crazy work and still stay strong and resilient. But it's, I made it part of my life.
Hey, if you're interested in checking out any of the detox products that Dr. Shade talks about in our episode, go to EliteManMagazine.com/detox. This link will take you right to Dr. Shade's website where you can buy any one of the detoxification essentials. I partnered up with Dr. Shade because I truly believe he's the smartest man in the world when it comes to detoxing your body, and being the super genius scientist that he is, has created the best when it comes to detoxification products. So with that said, I do get a small cut if you choose to purchase anything from his site. But just know, any and all of that money goes right back into producing this show and making it the best show I possibly can. Dr. Shade's products are not cheap, but when it comes to detoxifying your body, they're the best in the world. You can't cut corners in detox, and if you're really considering doing a true full body and brain detox, this is the stuff you want. So go to EliteManMagazine.com/detox now to get started. And oh yeah, use the coupon code EM05 at checkout to get 5% off your entire order. That's EliteManMagazine.com/detox, and the coupon code is EM05 for 5% off your entire order. So the hardcore phase for the first few months, how often are you doing the EDTA? Is that a few times a week for months?
Well, let's say just all the stuff, like your detox system upregulation, you're doing that at least twice a day, 5 days on, 2 days off, or 10 days on, 4 days off for that period of 3 months, say. EDTA is an overlay. So the way I like to do it, there's a basic set of detoxification where we're opening up liver, dumping, and catching. And then there's overlays. Overlays could be antimicrobials, say, in all our toxicity. Toxicity lowers your immune system, and then chronic viral infections come in, Lyme, parasites, different things that are holding us down. So an overlay could be antivirals or antimicrobials. An overlay could be the EDTA, because now we really want to move lead. And so overlaying this 5 days on, 2 days off is twice a week of a big EDTA dose. And that might be kept up for 2-3 months.
Gotcha. What does it feel like when you're actually undergoing this process of detoxification? And also, do you have to restrict certain things like, say, foods or alcohol?
It's a broad mix of things. So how do you feel? Now, there's a sort of reprioritization of your ATP or of your mitochondrial output, let's just say that. And you're shifting priority more towards this house cleaning function. In fact, these enzymes and proteins used to be house cleaning proteins. That's what they called them before they organized it all together into this chemoprotective system they call now. And you're shifting energy towards them. So you might be a little bit more tired, and it's not like that exhausted, brain foggy tired. It's, I need to sleep a little bit more. I got to go to bed a little bit early. I can't do quite as much stuff, but I'm still performing pretty well at work. And so you go through that phase, and in, you know, you're doing these week, you know, 5 days on, 2 days off, and then you're gradually marching up the dosing. So the two fundamentals in detox are pulsing, that's time on, time off, and titration of doses, that's starting low and working up higher and higher and higher. And you're just letting more, you're getting deeper and deeper and letting more out. And at each one of these dosage levels, you know, the first week you're on it is, you know, towards the end of the week, you're more tired, you bounce back over the weekend. The next week at the same dosage is a little less intense. The next week a little less intense. Then you jump up dosage. Then it's a little more intense, and then it eases off. So you're going through these cycles like that. And then you're asking about restrictions. So having a nice healthy diet at that point is a good thing. Being high fat, low carb is allowing you to shift more towards turning over your fat stores, which is turning over fat soluble toxins. Being hardcore ketogenic is releasing a lot of toxins, but you know, the only sort of negative around there is that the liver, mitochondria they're not really able to use ketones as fuel so well. And so, you know, you're releasing these targets, these organs, I mean, you're releasing these toxins, but then the liver might need a little bit more other forms of energy to be able to deal with them. But overall, you know, keeping that carb level and that blood sugar level low, keeping fats high, there's a lot of rebuilding of membranes going on, and keeping a nice adequate distribution of proteins, but not really protein loading too hard. So there's a fine line there, because when you're protein loading, then you're activating mTOR and you're putting on a lot of mass. Mercola recently, you know, opened my eyes to all these things, and I'm able to integrate that dietary aspect in there a lot. But otherwise, getting a lot of phytonutrients in, lots of raw vegetables, a broad spectrum of all that is really important, and a lot of minerals. You're going to use a lot of minerals whenever you're using detox work or you're doing immune work.
And the alcohol, is that a no-go on the diet or what?
It's, you know, you just got to be moderate with it. You know, some people really, you know, it was well known for a long time that if you were doing a really heavy mercury detox, a little bit of alcohol kind of softened the edges around that, because it was really irritating. And alcohol actually blocks some of the transformations of mercury into different forms. And so a little bit, I think, is okay. A lot, then you're using up your detox energy on the alcohol. People also ask me about coffee. I think coffee's fine. If you get really wiry from coffee, then you shouldn't do it, because it's putting you more into a sympathetic autonomic tone. But if it doesn't wire you out, coffee and tea don't bother me. You're going to pee more, drink a ton of water, and use your common sense.
As far as CBD, I know you're huge on CBD. Alcohol, as you mentioned, does have some, in moderation, can have some benefits as well. But CBD, I mean, far and above, is one of the most powerful substances you can take. Why is it so helpful, especially in detox, and why should more people get on taking it?
So let's talk about the brain and the autonomic nervous system, autonomic or automatic nervous system. This is the behind-the-scenes aspect of your nervous system that you're not actively controlling, but it's controlling endocrine function, it's controlling perfusion or blood flow into all the different organs, and it's controlling your prioritization of biochemistry. So the autonomic is split into the yin-yang poles of sympathetic autonomic and parasympathetic autonomic. Sympathetic is fight or flight. It's your vigilance. It's like being on it. That's associated with memory, with action, getting stuff done. All right. We're all ambitious. We want to get stuff done. Parasympathetic, on the other hand, is rest, digest, repair, assimilate, regenerate, detoxify. And so you need to be able to balance those, and you need to be able to give over your body to parasympathetic autonomic tone in order to detoxify. Now, in the brain, the receptor systems in the neurons, for the neurotransmitters, 80% of neurotransmission is split between GABA and glutamate. Now, those are, the sort of relaxing versus the, stimulatory versus inhibitory. Stimulatory is the go signal, and that's the glutamate receptors. And inhibitory is the stop and calm down signal. That's the GABA receptors. And so they have to be in balance in order for your brain to let the autonomic nervous system be in balance. So alcohol, for example, gives you more GABA-like tone. That's why you use it at the end of a stressful day to calm yourself down. It's shifting you over into parasympathetic, and that's letting you calm down. Notice your appetite will build up. You'll get hungry again. Now, CBD goes in more directly without a secondary toxicity and balances that sympathetic to parasympathetic tone. It stabilizes the glutamate receptors, and the glutamate receptors get wound up by a lot of the toxins like mold toxins and mercury and glyphosate or Roundup. All these wind up that glutamate receptor, which is winding up sympathetic autonomic tone. It's creating symptoms of anxiety and stress. When it winds up a lot, it creates free radicals that create brain fog. And of course, if we were stressed because we were trying to get something done and now we're foggy, we can't get it done, we're even more stressed. So all that blocks that gallbladder that liver to gallbladder transition. It's just blocking detoxification, and it's shifting your ATP away from detoxification. And CBD comes in there, and it just magically balances those two and sets you back in a tone where your body can go into detoxification, and it'll calm that anxiety, calm all that, and give you a clear space for that. That's why I think this is one of the most important tools for functional medicine in the last 30 years, and it just works magic on the mercury toxic, the mold toxic, the Lyme patients. Just opens up that space.
Love it. What are some of the dosages for CBD? I know there's different, like you have a liposomal nanoemulsified, I believe it's called, product, but what are some of the other ones if it's not nano? Well, what's yours? And then what are some of the other ones out there that people might be able to take too? I know it's obviously a higher dosage because it's not as absorbable, right?
Right. So we have a 5.5 to 6x absorption by doing our nanoemulsified Colorado hemp oil. And you also have an immediacy to it. It's absorbing, you know, you're feeling it in the first 5 to 10 minutes. By 20 minutes, you're already in around 90% of your peak dose. And that's really important because you get a high initial dose, and it's the high blood levels that sweep through and really affect the receptor sites and really affect the gene upregulation that makes these things work. And so for us, like 12 milligrams, which is 4 of our pumps, is a really effective dose. 2, or if you really need more, 3 times a day. That really, it has immediate effects, and then it has these long-term effects of bringing down a really wound-up system. So if you're going into like a capsule or a tincture that doesn't have this advanced absorption, and these liposomal and nanoemulsified systems that we sell at Quiksilver absorb right through the oral cavity, you know, that's why they get such high, fast absorption. If you're going through with a more normal dosage, then you're looking more like 5 to 6x that, so 60 to 72 milligrams in other dosage formats, 2 to 3 times a day. And even then, you might not get the same effect because you're not going through and ringing the bell all at once of all those transmitters.
Gotcha.
Or of all those receptors, sorry.
Yeah. Is there any side effects at all that you've come across for taking CBD? I know there's such a stigma with it because of the THC component and the marijuana component. Some people don't want to, including me, actually, I wouldn't want to like get high off taking CBD or something like that. But
yeah.
Have you found any like weird side effects from doing
that? Well, no, because we sell on a broad geographical level, we have to get essentially a THC-free oil. It's a very high-end purification that removes the THC. So you don't get high at all. You do feel a calm down and a relaxation because it resets that autonomic tone, but it turns up the synthesis and retention of your own endocannabinoids. For instance, anandamide, which is known, that means the bliss, ananda means bliss, so it's like the bliss molecule, and it makes you feel a little bit high in a way that you're relaxed and you feel good, but none of that is THC derived. As far as side effects, the only people that we see a problem with are people who actually have an allergy to hemp. Now, ironically, some people seem to have developed this from having a bad experience with marijuana, especially from edibles, and then they have this negative reaction to it. But that's not a lot of people. Otherwise, we don't see side effects that way. It can interact a little bit with your processing of pharmaceuticals, and so like people on blood thinners have to be a little careful of it. But just directly, I had my 8-year-old on 10 pumps 3 times a day when he was really sick. You don't have direct side effects from it. It's a wonderful, wonderful compound. Definitely something you should incorporate.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. Real quickly, I know we just got a couple minutes left. Shoemaker, the Shoemaker protocol, and also the Cutler protocol, the autism protocol, and then Shoemaker is for, I believe, Lyme. Either one of those effective, both effective, or neither?
Cutler protocol is all, it was a mercury toxicity protocol. He was using DMSA to increase drainage out of the blood, and he was using lipoic acid. He didn't understand this was what was happening. That was an NRF2 upregulator that was getting the cells to push stuff out into the blood so that you could pee out more of it. But he wasn't looking at real effective drainage from the kidneys. He wasn't looking at liver function. He wasn't looking at glutathione system and how it works. It was okay back in the 80s, 90s when he came up with it, but really working with the system underneath that was the problem in why you accumulated the toxins is a much better way to go, because when you bring up the glutathione system, you make the body more resistant to any toxin in it. At the same time, you're lowering the levels, where people would just seem to get more and more sensitive when they were doing Cutler protocol, and it would take them years to get better. Shoemaker protocol I like a lot, and a lot of what we do is similar. I'm just going and influencing phases of detox a lot more. He was a little bit more passive with the binding. He was using cholestyramine, a prescription binder. I'm using blends of natural binders. He was working a little bit more on hormone and neurological access. I'm working a little bit more on detox pathways. And so Shoemaker protocol and my protocol, I think they're not clashing like the Cutler and the Quicksilver protocols are. And Shoemaker was more of a mold protocol.
Gotcha. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. Mold. How do you deal with mold? I know it's one of the most prevalent toxins out there. Is it the same protocol you have for everything else?
Same protocol. We have a protocol called Black Box 2 and now a new one called Push Catch Liver Detox. Both of those are fantastic for mold. You got to open up BioFlow, get the toxins processed, dump them into the GI tract, and then catch them with the binders. And there's a beautiful thing about this system as it is now. When you use the liposomes, they get into your system in 20, 30 minutes, and you can rev up all that liver activity and dump the bile and then come in with the binders 30 minutes after you take all these liver liposomes. So it's really quick. You dump everything out, you pick it all up, and you've just tied into a nice little bow, brought to a close your little cycle of detox. And you can do that once a day, twice a day, 3 times a day. You can use single doses, double doses, triple doses, depending on how intense you want that system to be. And it's worked beautifully for mold. It's really been a winner for that.
Awesome. I know there's a lot here, there's a lot to learn. And oftentimes you recommend people go to a practitioner. How can they, if they want to get on your protocol, one of these detox protocols, how can they find a good practitioner near them and get started?
We have a practitioner located that has a lot of the practitioners that work with us on there. They can also call in and ask in different areas who we have there, or if there's somebody that they like to work with. This has really been how we've grown our company the most. There's someone they're working with that's not using our systems. They say, look, I really want to use the Quicksilver system for this, and just specify it. I want to do this. Don't let them redirect you. And then the practitioner will order from us, inquire, we'll give them some training, and then they can access that. They can access most of the products and protocols directly as a consumer if they're good at self-medicating and self-regulating. Some of the things like the EDTA, they have to go through a practitioner. So, either look with us as to who in your area works with us. Go to your practitioner, make them work with us, or if it's something that you're comfortable doing, we've designed our protocols to gently work their way up, and people do a pretty good job with them on their own.
All right, last real question. What's the most amazing story you've seen from someone who detoxed through your system? What is like the just thing that jumps out?
Well, there's a bunch of autism cases, but let me tell you, that this is more towards us. There was a 56-year-old CEO, hardcore entrepreneur. He built up this big finance company in Southern California. And then 56, he's suddenly having cognitive decline. Brett hasn't worked with him, and it was an early onset dementia. And he tried all the, turn up the neurotransmitters, do this, do that, and nothing was doing anything. And finally someone said, why don't you get a mercury test? And he tested, he had really, really high mercury levels. He was doing, he was eating swordfish and tuna all the time, had really high levels. He came to me to set up the detox for him. We've got him on a very comprehensive glutathione system upregulation, brought his levels all the way down, reversed the cognitive decline, the early onset Alzheimer's. We reversed the metabolic disease, all the insulin resistance, everything came back, and the guy got everything back, and it would happen in about 5 to 6 months. It was similar when we did Tony Robbins, came to us with highest mercury levels I ever saw, the fireball he is, he was tired and losing memory, brought all those levels down, all that function came back. So you can really restore a lot of functioning by getting rid of the things that are causing the dysfunction, notably toxins.
What is a high level of mercury number-wise?
Well, these guys, the CEO was up around 35 parts per billion, and the 95th percentile is around 7. That was total mercury. Tony had gotten up over 100 parts per billion, so that was just ridiculously high. And that was, for both of them, that was all just fish consumption.
Wow, incredible. All right, awesome, man. I appreciate it. We're going to have to get you back on the show at some point again to follow up.
Yeah, I'd love it. We'll take it deeper.
Real quick, send off message for the audience and then a place that our listeners can check out your work and your products.
Send off message. Remember, what I'm trying to tell you is that your mind is interacting with your body and especially your liver. When you're stressed, when you won't let yourself calm down, when you're going through all those little loops in your head that stress you out, you lock the door for the toxins out of the body. And so I can give you everything to help open that, but you need to come to a realization that you've got to manage stress in your life. And I can give you CBD, which will long-term help you handle stress more, but you have to be aware that calming down, breathing, doing these things that everybody tells you to do with mind-body training makes you a much more powerful, much more efficient person to get the things that you want to do done. You have to go and you have to stop and you have to have that balance. And I'll help you clear all the toxins out, but if you don't find the balance, none of it'll work.
And the site, website?
QuicksilverScientific.com. We have Quicksilver Life for direct-to-consumer, but all that's being rolled together in 2 weeks into one site, QuicksilverScientific.com. For more training, go to YouTube and go to the Quicksilver Scientific channel on YouTube. You can see all of our webinars, hour and a half at a time. There's almost 30 of them talking about all this stuff in detail.
Awesome. Thanks again, Dr. Shea, for coming on. Really do appreciate it. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Hey, are you following me on social media yet? If not, quit being a complete psychopath and follow me now. Seriously, I post regularly throughout the week and love giving behind-the-scenes updates on the daily life of an elite man. I'm currently most active on Instagram and Facebook, so follow me on both. Get day-to-day updates on book recommendations, biohacking tools, elite man know-how, and all other glorious content I probably shouldn't post about but do anyways. Whether pics of me trying to conquer the world in my personal life, or whether cutting-edge research on the potential cures to all disease, keep up to date and have a few laughs by following either, or more preferably both, my social media pages now. I'm at Justin Stenstrom on both Instagram and Facebook, so it should be very easy to find me. That's JustinStenstrom on both these social media platforms. Follow me now and see exactly what I'm up to throughout the week. Get your daily dose of Elite Man entertainment and information Sunday through Saturday. Instagram and Facebook at Justin Stenstrom.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.